SEN Central. Tuesday Hacks with Fox Sports' Julian DeStoop and The Australian's Courtney Walsh.
Welcome to the Tuesday Hacks on this Tuesday, 0416 905 5052 to join the conversation. I'll get that right. 0416 905 5052 to join the conversation. And don't forget the Community Cup competition. I'll give you a bit of a hint. We'll play the famous Hunter Cup moment in the next 20 minutes. Now, if your local sporting club needs some extra cash, this is your chance to participate in this competition. There's 12 places up for grabs. We'll give away 3 spots on the Breakfast Club, Racing Pulse and RSN Central each day this week. Your sporting club representative or representatives need to be at Melton on Saturday night. There's $5,000 up for grabs, $3,000 for the Hunter Cup sweep, and then the fastest runner from a sporting club will compete. We'll get $2,000 if they win that running race up the straight there at Melton. So when you hear this Hunter Cup moment, you've got to call in 93493545, 93493545. And the first caller through their sporting club goes into the competition. So far, we've got the Bentley United Cricket Club and also the Wyndham Suns Footy Club. So a couple of clubs there in the running to win $5,000. Jules DeStoop, welcome back.
G-Man, how are you?
Good, thank you. And Courtney Welsh, hello to you.
Yeah, good morning, Gareth. Good morning, Jules. Nice to see you're out of bed in time for the show today, yeah. Jules.
What's that meant to me?
Where have you been?
What's going on?
I was working at the tennis early last week. Well, now, I've got lates this week, so yep. It works beautifully.
Courtney, we'll talk tennis to kick it all off. Ash Barty continues on her Australian Open campaign at around 12:30.
Not before.
Not before 12:30.
Certainly not before.
No.
she takes on Petra Kvitova, who defeated her last year in the Australian Open. Can she turn the tables this time around?
I think she can, but it's Kvitova is an extremely talented player who, in her matches, the result is often on her racket because she's just got such a spectacular serve, so powerful off the ground, an amazing athlete. So if she's on song, you know, she's very, very hard to beat. Ash has been a really, really good problem solver. You see that, we saw that even the other night against Risque where she was struggling. She was able to figure out a solution in the end, figure out the wind, how to make it work for her. She lost her first four matches against Petra, including the Aussie Open last year, where she was, you know, and a couple of weeks earlier, she was beaten in the Sydney International Final. I think probably the most important win of her career in terms of the change in trajectory came against Petra. So she lost the first four outings, gets to Miami in a quarterfinal, beats her in 3 sets last year, wins the Miami Open, which is a very, very, very big title in its own right, and it was the biggest title for her. She's subsequently beaten Petra the next 2 times. So I feel like she's found a solution to an extent in terms of being able to, I suppose, blunt the serve. She might have moved positions a little bit, like she's just changed her position on returning slightly and been able to diffuse that power. So whether she's playing as well, I'm still not absolutely convinced as what she was, say, in Miami or in Cincinnati, but she's such a hard woman to beat that she doesn't have to be at her best to be very, very hard to beat. So, look, I think she deserves to be favourite, but if Petra plays really well, and she has been playing well, it's certainly going to be a challenge.
There's still some good players left in the draw. I mean, Kvitova and Simona Halep, but a lot of good players have already fallen. I mean, will she get a better chance to win her Australian Open than this year, the way the cards have fallen?
Maybe not, but it's an interesting one because Halep, I think, is playing brilliant tennis. She was the French Open champion 2 years ago, the Wimbledon champion last year, the Australian Open finalist 2 years ago. I mean, that's top-shelf performance. Muguruza looks like she's got her mojo back, you know, former Wimbledon finalist and a French Open champion, then a Wimbledon champion. So these are women who are winning titles. And like the other day, we were talking about it to an editor of mine where he's saying, well, Serena's out, Naomi's out, all these women on her side of the draw are out. You know, it's all there for it. I said, that's fine, but she won the French Open. There were still the three women that beat her last year in the slams, Wang, Kvitova,
yep.
And Risk yeah. were still in the draw on her side. It was sort of it's like the big names are out, but it doesn't necessarily make it easier. Mm. I know it's a strange thing because we expect more from the biggest names, but there's a reason they were beaten as well. There's some very, very, very talented women out there.
Can you just explain to our listeners why on a Tuesday afternoon why Barty is playing Kvitova at around 12:30 or 1 o'clock today when most Australians are back at work and we would love to go home and watch our number one player in the world compete at the Australian Open in a quarter final?
I'm sure Channel 9 would like it at night too.
Oh, look, I think that's a very good question. Now, whether you back in tradition and say this is the way it's always been done, that's not always the best answer. I absolutely understand that. There's a couple of factors that I think have probably influenced the decision. A, the tradition. They tend to play the women's quarterfinals during the day-to-day because they'll do the same tomorrow because on Thursday, the two women's semifinals are played during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, fairness, there's an element of fairness there. If Sophia Kennan or Anjibur, who are playing right now, get through, and then Ash plays tonight, it's effectively they've got 12 hours extra to get themselves ready, and then Ash has to go from night back into a day. So that's one part of it. Or Petra, whoever wins that match. The other thing is, the other element is that Ash, I think, she never says it publicly, and certainly when asked about it in press conferences, she always plays the straight bat, but I think she prefers playing during the day. Now, whether that's the right thing by the public, we had this discussion about Nick last week and being out on a Hisense Arena, and you know, I think your point is sound in terms of if you paid top dollar, you want to be seeing Kyrgios playing on Rod Laver Arena. But sometimes the players do, you know, some players have more pull. And if you're world number one, you've got the greatest pull. We tend to see Federer playing a lot of matches at night.
I was going to say, your point's valid about Kyrgios, but at the end of the day, he's only the 23rd seed. And Ash is number one. So it's very different, that argument.
I guess the other argument, too, is that sometimes I think these matches go on for too long, or that they're played at too late. They start too late. So if you love your sport, you're not getting to bed sometimes to 1 o'clock if it's a five-set match. So if they have a women's game, especially when it gets steep, it's a more competitive tennis match, they might go too long. So say if Ash and Petra go to three sets, Djokovic match tonight might not start to say 9 o'clock. And then we're in for a really long night.
And look, no doubt the schedule is an issue. Some friends from the old Dart at the BBC were asking the same question earlier today as to whether or not this is wise to have only one match at night, and are the women being, I suppose, overlooked to an extent by not having the night match here. I guess scheduling a tournament's a thing. I hope you weren't going down the line of cutting best of five sets to best of three there, Gareth. I'd be at the window. There's too many of our American friends pushed that line, and I think it's a sign of their attention span.
Correct.
Inability to cope with proper tension.
Now, Jules, you've been a big critic of Nick Kyrgios. Have you jumped on the bandwagon?
Where does this come from? Some bloke on Twitter said that last night. Yeah, been a critic because he's carried on like a pork chop sometimes.
But are you happy with him now?
Absolutely. Yeah. But I guess I was going to ask Walsh, is it sustainable? I mean, he's been playing for a cause, and that clearly that's affected him. But when he goes to the next tournament, which won't have the fanfare and the crowds, and the cause won't quite be there, will we see the same Nick that he's fought for every point in this tournament, which we haven't seen before?
It's a question we ask whenever he has good runs, and then just impossible to say with any certainty. We see this. We have actually seen this before in Melbourne. You know, he was really good in Melbourne 5 years ago, and he has made third and fourth round, and then sort of putting up his performance below par. He's done it overseas. People will scoff at it and say, "What has he won?" And they'll say he's won two 500 tier titles. Now that may be true, but he has had good runs last year where he's beaten Nadal, Zverev. He can do
it. He plays well against good players.
But whether he can sustain it, again, I think you're clutching at straws. It's impossible to get an answer. One thing I've noticed, playing under probation is clearly a factor because he's forced to talk to a psychologist. So he's forced to do that. He's got, in his camp, he hasn't got the tennis coach. You know, the question, does he need a coach? But what he has got is a fitness conditioner there beside him who he gets on with. And he's got a sports psychologist in his entourage at the moment. Maybe they're far more important than actually a tennis coach for him, because he's actually quite a smart player in matches.
He is.
And last night was really good. I think if he can continue to perform like that, It's taken the world number one again to play an absolute corker to edge him by a couple of points. People say, oh, he's, you know, it's a fourth round match. He's the world number 23. Yeah, why do we care about this guy? But it's like, we care because he's 24 and he can absolutely do it if he can pull it together.
And he's so important for the game because he's an entertainer.
Yeah,
you get people
absolutely
lining up at 10 o'clock to watch a night match. So they're in the line for 7 or 8 hours. My mum and dad went to the tennis for the first time this year. And my old man has always been a cricket fan over the hit and giggle game that he used to call at tennis. But he lined up for 3 hours so he could watch Nick Kyrgios. Now, Federer or Nadal or Djokovic, they wouldn't do that because they don't believe that they would get the entertainment if they watch those champions play. So Kyrgios, I think he can. There's a lot of positives I think he does for the game. Now, we need to take a quick break. I think the competition, we might play that Hunter Cup moment just in the next 2 minutes or so. 9349 3545 is the number to call. After the break, we'll talk about the death of one of the great athletes of all time, Kobe Bryant, with the lads. And also a decision from, or an article that I found on the BBC website regarding an expert saying that sports banter in the workplace should be banned.
Please. Is this the same BBC that ran 20 seconds of LeBron and not Kobe in their story yesterday?
We'll talk about that. Just
they might want to pipe down a little bit at the moment, the BBC.
Yeah, they've had a shocking 24 hours. Time for a quick break, and we'll be back with plenty more on RSN Central. This is the Tuesday Hacks with Gareth Hall, Courtney Walsh and Julian De Stoop. Yeah, great prizes up for grabs. You can ring in now, of course. You need to be at Melton, or a member of your sporting club needs to be at Melton, because you need someone competing in that running race. $2,000 to the winning sporting club, and also we'll play that Hunter Cup sweep. So after race four, the 12 sporting clubs will be given a horse, and if your horse wins, you get $3,000. So we might chat to the winner to see who that is and what club they're representing. But we're with Courtney Walsh and Julian De Stoop here for the Tuesday Hacks. Kobe Bryant, it's been a tough 48 hours, not just for basketball fans, but for sporting lovers around the globe.
Yeah, I was just talking about this in the office yesterday. I was trying to think of the last worldwide known sportsman that sort of died before their time, that had an impact around the world. I think Ayrton Senna is probably the one in terms of of someone not, you know, nearly in their prime and that everyone around the world knows. But it's just the, I mean, it would have been sad if it was, you know, Kobe dying, but just, but the fact that he had his daughter and there was other people on the plane, the families that passed away. The whole story is just horrific.
I couldn't believe it when I woke up and checked my social media sites. I saw it on Twitter for the first time, and it's one of those moments that you'll never, ever forget. That I woke up and checked my phone and saw that Kobe Bryant was dead. And it's hard to believe because growing up, he was a man that you looked up to and you watched, and he was a hero to many of your mates as well. They wore the Kobe jersey, the 24 or the 8. He was a five-time NBA champion. His work ethic and the way that he went about his life, especially those efforts on the basketball court, were inspiring. So it was hard to believe. What about the reporting of the story, Courtney? There was a Washington Post, their senior national political reporter, that was stood down for posting an article back in 2003 when Kobe Bryant was charged for sexual assault straight after his death. Where's the line for journalists in this situation?
I think that you have to acknowledge that in the story. It was part of his history. Yeah. Is it the focus of the story?
No.
I think you can't rewrite history just to. I know, and that's a terribly tragic thing. Such a terrible tragedy, and look, even the I suppose the situation around that sexual assault where there was, I suppose, allegations that payments were made, charges were dropped, things are done slightly different in America, but it is an element of the story. It's an element of his life. I know it's absolutely a terrible thing, but if we write about any historical figure or any figure of note, you cover the highs and the lows.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be the focus, in my opinion.
No.
But there are also plenty of people out there who feel very, very, very strongly and rightly that any assault victim should be absolutely stood by. So I think it's just one of those terrible tragedies that has evoked different emotions and responses in people.
Well, it's slightly different, but for example, if Wayne Carey passed away tomorrow, part of the story would be about what happened in North Melbourne.
Yeah.
What happened with Kelly Stephen. I mean, that's part of his story. It lead the story, but it is part of the story. And the interesting thing is, too, the Lakers play the Clippers tomorrow.
It's been postponed.
It has been postponed. Yeah.
Which is understandable.
Yeah, I was surprised they played games yesterday.
Yeah. Doc Rivers, the coach of the Clippers, was breaking down when he was talking to the media. I talked to a few friends that went and listened to Kobe Bryant when he was in Melbourne last year.
He was very interesting.
Hamish McLaughlin was the MC, and it was fascinating hearing him on a local radio station today talking about that. So his story was inspiring with the way that he'd come back and the way that he led the Lakers and his philosophy on life, and especially how he was able to move from being a professional basketballer to winning an Oscar. And as Corey Homicide Williams pointed out, the job that he did with women's sport, with Gianna, who tragically lost her life as well, being a really talented basketballer. So it was, I think it was tough for everybody, especially LA, that'll be hurting for a long time. Just quickly on this BBC story here. Now, this was an article that I found on the internet. Chartered Management Institute head Anne Frank said sports banter can exclude women and lead to laddish behaviour, such as a chat about sexual conquest. A lot of women in particular feel left out, she told the BBC's Today program. They don't follow those sports and they don't like either being forced to talk about them or not being included. I have nothing against sports enthusiasts or cricket fans, that's great. But the issue is many people aren't cricket fans, she added, arguing bosses should crack down on sports banter in the workplace. What is this world coming to?
Now, I assume you read that on the Onion, Gareth.
Yes.
It was on the Onion, I'm assuming, or...
No, it was
the
on
Batuta
the...
Advocate?
Yeah.
Batuta Advocate?
Yeah.
Daily Mail?
Can you believe that we publish any of that?
Well, that's okay. I mean, we if people talk about sport, we've got ladies in our office that love their sport, but sometimes they sit around talking about Married at First Sight.
Yeah.
And that might lead to talk about sexual conquest, and some of the guys in our office don't want to get involved in that. That is ridiculous.
Yeah, I think you should be allowed to talk about whatever you really want.
Yeah, as long as you're talking respectfully.
Yes, correct.
What is the point of that article?
No, I can't understand how it gets airplay and people would think it's an actual story that you can't talk about sport.
Well, stop giving it life. You're the one breathing air into it.
Well, I just find it fascinating.
Could I ask you something else totally off the grid?
Yeah.
Have you lost a tooth?
I have, actually.
What happened?
No, what happened was I was playing football in my heyday and I kicked 5 goals in a quarter and got knocked out.
I heard this story so
my teeth
times.
Got knocked out anyway. They became dead and I've got away with it for about a decade, so I had to get it replaced, need to have the implants put in so it's easier to have the plate out, why it heals and all that. So I'll be right. I can still wear the plate, but another 4 months' time and I'll have some new teeth.
Was this the game where you ran around saying, call the fire,
no,
I'm on fire, anyway, and didn't touch it after quarter time?
That's a very good point, Julian DeStoop. Great to have you back. We'll catch up with you next week.
Courtney Will do, Walsh. Absolutely.
Enjoy the tennis. Go Ash today.
Who's going to win the titles, Barty. Quickly?
Let's go for Barty.
Yeah.
Nadal.
Oh, not all Novak. Right. Gareth?
I'm with Djokovic and Kvitova, unfortunately. Thank you.
Un-Australian.
Yeah, thank you, Jules. Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you, Gareth.
Now, we have another sporting club making the final 12 for our Community Cup competition for Hunter Cup night. And Justin Frickerilli, I think that's how you pronounce your name. Justin joins us from the Croydon Football Club. Congratulations, Justin.
Thank you, Gareth. Thanks for getting me involved.
Mate, so $5,000 up for grabs. We need a representatives at the trots there on Saturday night. Do you have a fast runner in your football club?
I might go myself, actually. I'm a little nippy forward from Croydon, so I might
Beautiful.
Go.
Oh, I love it, mate. Up that straight. You'll have to wear your footy jumper, and Dan Malecki hopefully can call you home. But absolutely. I think it's a great initiative from Harness Racing Victoria and RSN. What will the $5,000 do for your footy club if you can get the cash?
It'll go a long way to get some new gym equipment and bits and pieces. It's been 1997 since our last flag. Already a little advantage would be great. So we lost the grand final last year. So if we can bounce back this year and win it, would be great.
All right, mate. Well, we'll catch you at the trots there on Saturday night. We'll have a chat to you then. And I'll bring some tips with me so you can back a few winners.
No worries. Thank